good to see everyone tonight. The building looks great over here, I have to say. A lot of work obviously been put into it. I'm sure your numbers are growing. You got the most comfortable seats in Dixon. You even have a couch now. And I thought about teaching from back there, but it was already taken up, so I couldn't have a seat there. It's really good to be here. It is good to see you all. Courtney's not able to make it tonight, our youngest, because Charlotte is sick, so she's not here. Emma and Minzy are here, though, in the back, so we're glad to be able to come. I'll just give you a little bit of update. We left, like Brother Jeff said, toward the end of March, and we love it down there. I mean, I told someone before service, I'm glad to be here tonight, but I'm looking forward to getting back. I mean, that's really... East Kentucky will always be home. That's where I'm from, obviously. And some of you who have moved away from your home, you understand what I mean. And yet, Georgia's home for me now. It's just so good. It's so good to be there. We're about 9 miles from a gas station. There's more fire ants and alligators than there are people around us. There's literally alligators there. And there's a pond filled with big bass behind our house. But we have to watch the kids around it because of alligators, just in case. Literally. But it is so good to be down there. We're at a great church. The people are great, a good core group that love us. They've taken care of us. We love them, and it's really good to be there. And I was telling Brother Aaron today. We met and talked for a while. You know, I'm just really glad that I was able. You know, when I got out of college, I went to Bible college a little late. I was 21. I started preaching when I was 20. And I graduated from Bible college in Nashville when I was 25, I believe it was. And I was looking to be a senior pastor. I was looking, I was going, I was candidating, I was doing different things. And for whatever reason, some of the reasons are on my fault, but nothing ever happened. And looking back, though, I'm really glad that I became assistant pastor for over 5 years here before I became a senior pastor. That's been a real blessing to me. It's been very helpful to me, and I can see the Lord's providence in that. I'm very grateful for that. Well, I want you to turn with, we're going to look at a few different places tonight. Go ahead and just turn to Deuteronomy, if you will, chapter 17. Raise your hand if you know who Jack Nicklaus is. I don't know. I don't know why it was funny, but what translation are you using? Jack Nicklaus, arguably, most people will consider him the greatest golfer ever. At the beginning of each, at least at one point in his life, at the beginning of each, whether it's the new year or the new golf season, whichever one, he would do two things. He would read the golf rule book again. Now, again, this is the greatest golfer in the world. At the beginning of the year, he would read the rule book again. He would also do one other thing. He would go to his old coach and take a lesson. Beginning of each year, that's what he would do. And really, what I just want to look at tonight is going back to the basics. First service of the new year, what are some of the basics that we can go back to? I want to look at mainly one tonight, mainly one. If you're anything like me, you're prone to forget, maybe less so, maybe more so. You're prone for distraction. I'm very prone to be distracted. I can be in my study, trying to read my Bible, and literally for a few minutes, I'm off thinking about something else while I'm still there with the Bible in my hand. I mean, I'm like that. And I think it's good to be reminded of these things. I remember, it's been some years ago, I was in my study, I believe. A friend of mine was over at the house, and he picked up a commentary by J.C. Ryle. And he read something out of it. And I was just blown away. It was so good. And then he showed me it was underlined. And I went back. It was my underline. And I had forgotten what I had read and underlined some years ago. We forget things. And like Peter said in in one of his epistles, he said, basically, it's good for me to come and remind you of these things. It's good for me to be here to remind you of these things tonight. It's a good thing tonight. And I think we often need to renew our covenant to read the Bible, to open up God's Word, to read His Word. And that's really what I want to look at tonight. The need to read God's Word, the need to feed ourselves and to enjoy God's Word. It's not enough just simply to read God's Word. That's something that I suppose a robot could do. But to actually read and to enjoy and to feed ourselves from God's Word. I am convinced, and this is a fearful reality, I am convinced probably, I'm not going to ask any hands to be raised, but I'm convinced that most Christians have never read the Bible before. Most people who profess to be Christians have never read the entire Bible before. I'm convinced of that in our churches, in our community. That is the case. And that is a frightful case. It's a frightful case. I remember at one local, it wasn't in this state, it was in a different state, one local association of churches, 20-some churches in this association, and they tried to put in to the constitution, I guess, of the association that each minister who is ordained has to read the Bible at least once before he's ordained. Now, we may ask, is that really necessary? But there was an uproar in this association. I mean, how can you make a minister? That's legalism. How can you do that? If our ministers aren't reading the Bible, what's the people doing? So I want us to turn, like I said, go ahead and turn to chapter 17 of Deuteronomy. It was George Mueller who said that his first duty of the day was to get his soul happy in the Lord. George Mueller said that. And the first thing that he would do would read the Bible, even before he prayed. Deuteronomy 17, we're going to read in just a moment, verses 18 through 20. I don't think challenge is the right word. I'm not looking for any commitments tonight. I don't have any cards with me or anything like that. But if you're here tonight, just think about your own situation. Think about what's going on in your life right now. Think about, be realistic. You know, unrealistic goals are depressing. I bought a jump rope a few months ago, and it worked great for the three times I used it. I haven't used it since then. Unrealistic goals aren't good. So just think about how much time you have, what you're doing in life, and then think about, realistically, how much Bible should you be reading? Or how often, or how much of the Scriptures should you try to digest? Whether it's a chapter, three, four, whether it's just simply until God speaks, to whatever it is, just think about how often should you be reading the Bible, and think about how often you are right now reading the Bible. And I just really want you to think about, if I can get one person simply to read and to enjoy and to obey the Bible more so this year, I've done a good thing tonight. Just think about that. Before you make your resolution, though, I want you to listen to one man who made, I think, 70 of them. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Jonathan Edwards, famous resolutions that he made many years ago. It's very interesting, it's very telling, it's very helpful for us to hear what he said before he made these resolutions. He says, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat Him by His grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to His will, for Christ's sake. So if you're here and you want to read, you want to understand, you want to enjoy the Bible more this coming year, begin by asking God to enable you to. Because I'm the king of broken resolutions. Not diet resolutions or jump rope resolutions, but spiritual resolutions. So ask God to help you. Let's just read here together Deuteronomy chapter 17. We'll start in verse 18. We'll look at a few places tonight. Verse 18, this is speaking of the king. What's the king supposed to do when there's a king? There's not a king at this time. Moses is here. But what's the nation of Israel to do? What's that king of that nation to do? When he comes in to be king, we'll jump in about halfway through here in verse 18. Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. It says the king of Israel, when he becomes king, he is literally supposed to copy for himself a copy of the law. From the one before the priest, the Levites, verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Now listen, if any man in Israel had an excuse not to read the Bible, it was the king. He's the most busy man of anyone in Israel. He is the one that's most looked to answer life's questions. He is the one, at that time, probably if many, many children to take care of. I mean, if anybody had an excuse not to read the Bible, this man had an excuse not to read the Bible. If any man in Israel had an excuse that I'm just too busy, I've got too much going on in my life to take time to read God's Word, it was the king of Israel, and yet he was the one who needed to make his own copy of it. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Now listen to verse 20. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he would stay humble. God's word keeps us humble. That he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. I would say right now, don't go into extremes. We are people prone to go into extremes. Don't allow ourselves to do that. What's one way to help us keep from extremes? It's by reading God's Word faithfully, digesting it, loving His Word, and that He may prolong His days in His kingdom, He and His children in the midst of Israel. Turn to Psalm 1 with me. Again, listen to the importance of God's Word for us. Psalm 1, first three verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You can read the Bible all day long and not enjoy it, not delight yourself in it. Delight is a window to the heart. Whatever you delight in, you'll spend time in. Whatever you delight in, you'll love. Whatever you delight in, you'll take the time. And I've found this out almost for certain, people do whatever they want to do. I mean, you have that hunting trip you just have to go on. Well, you make time for it. People do basically whatever they want to do. And the things they make time for in their busy schedule, all of us are busy, the things they make time for in their busy schedule are the things they really love in life and care about. And in his law he meditates day and night. Obviously, you're at work, you're doing something complicated, think about what you're doing. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about this person is truly thinking about God's Word. He loves God's Word. He's eating God's Word up. He's thinking about it throughout his day. He's keeping his thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth. Somebody says, well, it's so easy for my heart to wander. I'm with you. I feel that. And yet it's true, like the old Puritan said, our thoughts go before our hearts go. When my heart wanders, it's only because my mind has wandered first. keep our thoughts on the things above, not the things of the earth. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It takes time to grow. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And just start reading in verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. His commandments, God's commandments, are always with him. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Here's a man that loves God's word. He loves the word of God. Look over in verse 147. Arise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Here's a man that loves God's word. Here's a man that desires God's word greatly. Look with me in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's read verse 15 and 16. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in us. Richly dwell in us. Just hold your spot there. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, how does his words abide in us? Well, yes, we think about his words, that's true. But we obey his words. We love. Listen, it's an easy thing for me to look holy before you tonight. It's an easy thing. I got a tie on. I got my nice jacket on. I mean, I'm a preacher. But, I mean, in reality, it's a difficult thing to obey God's word, isn't it, at times? Around the people we love the most. The people it ought to be the easiest to love and the easiest to obey God. Oftentimes in our own families, though, it's difficult to do this. And that's why the training ground for the Christian really begins at home, where we love our family, for my case, my wife and my children. It's an easy thing for me to become upset with my children. It's an easy thing for me to become upset with my wife. And when I do that, oftentimes is I feel the Spirit of God being grieved or being quenched. If I'm to let the Word of God dwell in me, I must obey the Word of God. At home, with my family, the people I love the most in my life. Again, Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So obviously, this is just very quickly looking at a few verses in the Bible tonight. We see the importance of reading the Bible, the importance of God's Word. We could go to John 17. God's Word sanctifies us. His truth changes us. His truth makes us into the people that we have been called to be. And yet, I want to stress this point. What I'm saying for us tonight, I'm just not trying to remind us to read God's Word. I would hope the majority of us here read God's Word normally. Us who are adults, we read the Word of God normally in our life. I hope that's true. But here's one thing I really want to stress to us tonight is we cannot let, I think this is a great mistake for Christians, it's something that I fall into, we cannot allow Bible reading to be an end in of itself. I think many people do that. They come to the Scriptures, they read their Bible, and they feel as if they have done what they should have done. You have a reading plan, you read your reading plan, and not that that's going to be a very good thing. You read your reading plan, you're finished for the day. Bible reading, don't let Bible reading become an end. This is what I mean. The Christian life is a terribly boring life without God. And the same thing is true about Bible reading. The Bible is a terribly boring book. I mean, you're reading about things that happened thousands of years ago. It's a boring book unless God is with you. And then it's the greatest thing you've ever read before. What I mean is this. When we read the Bible, always remember, I am reading this Bible because I have a Creator who lives today whom I want to meet with. I have a God today that I want to meet with, that I want to love. I have a God today that after I read the Bible, I want to go off to work or go off to school, wherever I'm going off to. I want to keep these words in my mind, not because I can check my list off, but because I want to live pleasing to this God, and I want to have this God with me throughout this day. It's my relationship with God. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11. Now, I'm either going to be very smart or a heretic tonight, so you tell me which one after I read this. But I think this helps us see what I'm talking about. Jesus says in this famous passage in Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now here's the point I want to make to you tonight. That first part of verse 28, when Jesus says, "Come to me," those three words we need to keep in our mind when we come to the Bible. I'm not just reading the Bible to learn things. I'm not just praying to learn things. A parrot can do that. A computer program can do that. Yes, I want to learn. Yes, I want all these things. But I am really coming to the Bible because I want to come to Christ. Who read the Bible the most in the New Testament? Somebody tell me. Besides Jesus. Who read the Bible the most? Well, maybe. Besides the Bereans. Who read the Bible the most and probably had it memorized? The Pharisees did. And they killed Jesus. So, this is the first service of the new year. If we, as a people, as the people of God, would come to the Bible this year, and hopefully we're already doing this, but come to the Bible this year, and by the grace of God, want to meet with God when we read the Bible. Not just go through an exercise, but to read the Bible, to meet with God, to meet with the Lord Jesus, to have Him with us. If we will be committed to do that, well, I would feel like this little lesson, preaching, teaching tonight would be a great success. If somebody tonight, by the grace of God, will say, "I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to enjoy the Bible, I'm going to feed off the Bible, I'm going to delight in the Bible, I'm going to love and obey the Scriptures, and I want to do it with God's help better than I ever have before," then I'll go out here and drive back to Georgia a happy man. And I sure hope at least one person tonight will do just that with God's help. And I pray the Lord to bless you all. It's so good to see you all. I look forward to speaking some more after after service tonight. Brother Jeff, you...